to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here at the spot, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. This afternoon, we're going to New York. We are going to be with Helena Cullard. And I'm so glad to have her here because we're going to talk about two very different things. One, putting together puzzles. She is the owner of a puzzle company. In addition to that, her work that she does in the community with African-American women, putting together the puzzle of birth, infant immortality, and how they intersect. It's a lot of work to be a mother, to have that mindset. But what happens when things fall apart? Who do you have to go to? Who do you have to rely on? And this beautiful woman here is going to talk to us about that and so much more. Let's welcome her to the show. How are you, Helena?
I'm well, April. How are you? It's lovely to be here.
Lovely to have you here. I'm excited about this because I love puzzles. My mother was 91 years old, and she had to regress back to the puzzles of the 6 and 7 year olds, but it really kept her engaged. It kept her mind working. And me and my husband just put one together and made me kind of mad because he put more puzzle pieces in it than I did. But you get excited about it because, again, it's intricate work. Tell us a little bit about your story, your journey, your truth, and then how you started this company.
Okay, well, not to go all the way back in the journey, because that's a big, long journey. But I had become a single mother, and I had to think about what I was going to do to support myself and my son. And I decided I'm going to go back to nursing school. You know, I was able to double my salary from what I was making as a research assistant. And, you know, you got to put the food on the table.
That's right.
So I worked as a nurse for about 7 years, but it was very soon apparent to me that I wasn't really interested in bedside nursing. I really wanted to work independently. So I went back to school to become a nurse midwife, and that took me quite a while to find a job. And luckily, the job that I found was in an inner city New York safety net hospital, and that started me on the path to working with mostly Black and Brown women, trying to improve the horrendous, you know, maternal mortality, infant mortality crisis that just seems unmanageable in this country.
You know what? Let's dial back. Let's just kind of pump our brakes there for a minute. What the heck is happening? Now we have the state of the art technology, testing, blood transfusions, you know, for fertility tests, in vitro. What is going on, and why is it this segment of the population that is, from your vantage point, what's going on?
There's so many interconnected parts, you know, to this horrible story, and so much of it stems from the systemic injustices within our society, but within healthcare more specifically. A lot of my patients are low income. Actually, the very vast majority are low income. They have all sorts of, you know, issues. We call them the social determinants of health, difficulties getting to appointments, you know, can't find childcare, taking care of, you know, maybe disabled or elderly relatives. So that's an issue as well. But also there's just a lot of dismissal within the healthcare system to their concerns. They just aren't getting listened to. Patients sometimes.
Is it a problem with, you know, nutrition? Is it drug and alcohol abuse, mental health? So those aren't the major factors, but it's more of the interworkings of the hospital system within itself.
The medical system. And I think a lot of people do think there's this real terrible drug and alcohol problem that's so much bigger than anywhere else. And I have to say, I did not come across very much of that at all.
Okay.
Certainly, yes, we have plenty of, you know, I've had plenty of patients that smoke marijuana, but they stopped during the pregnancy. And there was so little of the rest of it, surprisingly little. What people think happens in New York is not really my experience in New York at all. And, you know, nutrition, all of us could eat better. exercise more. I don't think I know that's not universal to any particular population.
And it's you're not finding that it's genetic.
I think that's an easy excuse for saying that some people are just by the way they're made lesser than,
All right. Well,
you know,
I'm
and I
glad to
don't
hear
believe
you.
there's significant evidence that that has a lot to do with the maternal health crisis in our country.
Yeah, because I'm hearing this at an alarming rate. I live in San Diego, but I know in Los Angeles, KJLH, Stevie Wonder's radio station, they have a whole weekly segment on this. They're going out in the community, they're setting up community booths. There are health centers that are focusing primarily on the infant mortality rate of brown and black. And I have my conspiracy theory, but I'm gonna hold that. I'm gonna hold that. People can look it up because it's a cold piece. How people are in generations, and where does it start? With the mother that gives birth.
That's right.
You look at some of these countries, war-torn countries right now. People say, oh, they're killing the women and children. Absolutely. Ethnic cleansing is genocide.
Yeah.
So we have to
Well,
be careful.
I agree.
And we have to support our community. More black doctors, where people feel comfortable with someone that looks like them.
Without question, I agree with that 100%.
Exactly. Or
And we're
nurses.
not doing a good job.
Exactly. Or
We
nurses
hardly even
like
have.
you. Nurses like you that speak other languages, they feel more comfortable. They trust more. They will talk about their issues. You will get them and direct them to the people that need to be. But the beautiful part of
No, I've worked in a community health center for the last 10 years as a staff, the midwife manager, actually, of the practice. And I have to say, we did a phenomenal job, I think, really. Work, you know, that I've been tremendously proud of. I
Well,
think it's
good.
especially important that patients have a provider that they know cares about them and they know will work with them. If they can't make an appointment, they're going to reschedule them. They're going to, you know, if they have any concerns or problems, they're going to get a response, you know, that it's, you know, they're not just some number. You
Right.
know, and I think that's a big part of why a lot of patients don't remain within the system, end up missing appointments. They just don't feel anybody cares.
Right. And then midwifery is not an easy job, but do you also kind of direct them and handhold them after the birth with the postpartum and nurturing the baby? You got a lot of young babies having babies, 16, 17, 18 that are out there. They have no idea of what they're doing. Single parents that are out there that are doing that. Do you have groups that support after the delivery as well?
So I, for the last 10 or more years, I've only worked outpatients, so we didn't do any deliveries. I actually prefer the office setting far more anyway because I enjoy the relationship with the patients. That's what makes me happy. And that's, I think, where I bring the most expertise and benefit. But we did get them back after delivery, and you know, it's sometimes a challenge to get people back after delivery. They don't have childcare, they're, you know, not feeling well maybe. But since I did find that since COVID and with the greater usage of telehealth, that really improved things and increased access for patients in a way that they couldn't have before.
That's important. That is so important. And thank you again for the work that you do. I always tell nurses and doctors and teachers that you're my favorite people on the planet. You don't get your flowers like you should. It's a lot of
Oh,
work.
thank you.
You could have done a lot of things.
It's about the patient's appreciation and, you know, the joy of being with them. That's really all you need, or all I need.
Exactly. Now and then too, there's a lot of, this is a little different, but in the same vein, they're turning back the hands of time with a woman's right to choose what to do with her body. There are several reasons why we have to make difficult choices. several reasons. I don't think people want to wake up and say, hey, you know, abracadabra, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that or I'm going to do this. So having a person with your experience going through this with them, through this process, hand-holding, is so critical. So reach out, ask questions, don't give up, don't take no for an answer. If you don't get the answer that you want, consult someone else. I know it's difficult, but keep trying because you are the givers of life. You are the conduit, you are the vessel. God has entrusted you to do this, and He wants you to have the best health care and the best possible delivery as possible. One of my girlfriends, the baby and the mother went fine seamlessly. The baby was delivered and then the mother died. You know,
Yeah, such a tragedy.
it is a
It's
tragedy, you know,
unbearable.
and she had and she had six other kids. So let's talk about putting the pieces together of the mind and the puzzle. So to offset all of this heavy lifting that you're doing as a nurse, you started a business selling puzzles. Tell us a little bit about that.
So it was actually slightly different. The process was a little bit different. So in March of 2021, I was traveling home from work, and I've always been a super commuter. I've driven back and forth in each direction up to 120 miles to get to the Bronx to work because I just love it there. So I had a terrible car accident on the way home from work, and I nearly died. So I spent a few months immobilized, and really my world had shrunk down to my arm's length in front of my couch, basically, because that's where I slept, ate, I mean, did everything. And I had to find things to occupy myself during that time. I'm not a big TV person. And I started doing jigsaw puzzles. I could do them right on the coffee table, you know, that I had pushed all the way to the couch. And I had liked them as a child, but I had not, you know, really done them much as an adult. And, you know, as I'm do and I do them a lot, you know, I spend a lot of time doing them, let's just say many, many hours a day. And I started to realize that there's really not a whole lot that I could find on any particular site that, you know, of puzzles that looked like my patients, you know. And I it just had a this little seed in me that over time had just increased, and I thought, well, maybe I could start something where I could sort of, you know, find a number of different businesses that had a selection that I could bring into one space, which is the website that I started, fairplaypuzzles.com. And of course, there are, you know, other beautiful art puzzles, but I do try as much as possible to showcase puzzles that really reflect and represent my beautiful, beautiful patients and their culture. And other puzzles that are just, you know, from minority women-owned businesses, LGBTQIA plus businesses, and other lovely, pretty things
I'm
that
excited
I
because I went on
collect.
them and you do have some beautiful puzzles. What's the
Thank you.
largest puzzle that you've done? How many pieces?
3,000 pieces. Well, they have this whole Puzzle Olympics on Facebook that I said I had to do a couple of years ago. So you work up, if you finish every like type of puzzle, they tell you have to do 100, 200, whatever, it's 500, 1,000, you know, however, then you get a prize. So of course it's competition, so you got to show up for that. So I did the 3,000, but I had to do it on the dining room table. They're big. They get to be too big.
Well, and let me ask you, what do you do with them after you put them together? Because that's always our quandary. Okay, do we put some glue on it and frame it? Do we take it? I like to take them apart and maybe donate them to somewhere else. I don't redo my puzzles. What do people redo do with their puzzles after they put them together?
Well, I know what I do. I take a photo, it goes back in the box, and I save some. I probably won't do them again, but I just love them. you know, so I won't get rid of them. And then I'm really interested in starting up a jigsaw puzzle lending library, like at a within the school system maybe, or within a church, where people who've never thought of doing a puzzle can't afford to spend money on puzzles might be able to go and, you know, borrow one, bring it back, take another, so that people can experience the joy, or be exposed to and experience the joy and benefits of doing puzzles.
Where there's so many now that are multi-dimensional. Some of them are 3D. I saw online some that are round. That's hard to kind of put the border together because that's where you start, is you always want to put the border together.
Yes, you
They
do.
have them that are stackable. They have them that are different pieces, like a bird or a flower. They are
Yes.
really, really.
Those are wood, mostly.
They're getting very, very creative. Do you know the history of the jigsaw puzzle and how it got started?
I know that it, you know, people who do jigsaw puzzles are called dissectologists because they take things apart, put them together. But the first puzzles were made of maps that were set up into pieces. But nah, I forget when that happened. But clearly, it's taken off. And as everything advances, technology advances, it's fantastic. The wood puzzles that are laser cut with all those shapes, which are called whimsies, are fabulous. I love them.
Are.
So. But they're different, they're a little bit different. The construction.
Tell us a little bit about how that stimulates the brain from your nursing perspective and engages people to think, to again quiet the monkey mind, to focus.
Well, it definitely, I mean, from childhood up until, you know, one's senior years, it's really very beneficial. I'm really quite concerned about the amount of time that children spend on devices and screens. It's just very, very detrimental to their brain's growth and development. It's almost like, to me anyway, like kids are like in Vegas all the time on the slot machines with all of the lights and stimulation coming at them on the phones. It really diminishes their attention span. I had one young kid who came, who I had seen, who said, told me that humans now have a shorter attention span than dogs. I have not looked that up to be sure, but I wouldn't be surprised because my dog is pretty attentive for quite a long time if I'm eating, so I know she's paying good attention. But the act of putting a puzzle together takes patience, it takes determination, it takes concentration and hand-eye coordination, you know, to do that. And it obviously decreases stress and it causes one to relax. But it builds a lot of positive skills that are really taken away from especially young people with the constant need for devices. Plus, I think it's really,
It's a great
yeah.
bonding opportunity for family members too. We would
Oh,
all get in, we would
definitely.
all get involved. It's like game night.
That's fun.
Play games, but now you
Yeah.
come by and the puzzle, and you get so excited when you put a piece in or you're looking for the colors or the patterns. So that's pretty good. That's pretty neat. That sounds
For
pretty
me,
exciting.
however, it's like everybody has to leave and nobody better touch my puzzle.
Really?
Yes. There's two camps on that. The solo and the team sport, and I'm the solo. Don't touch my puzzle.
Wow, that's great. That's great.
Yes,
So
absolutely.
let's ask some more fun questions about you. You say you like to drive. What are some of the
Oh,
things?
no, I never said I like to drive.
You say
Oh,
you
I
do
hate to
drive.
drive, but I did drive that far because, you know, it's expensive to live in New York or near New York City, you know, the boroughs, right? So I could never really afford to live the way I would have wanted living close to where I worked. But yet I couldn't feel happy and satisfied with my work if I worked in another population. So that forced me to make some difficult choices, and the choice was that I would commute. That was the choice.
When you commute, what would be some of the things that you would do to occupy your time? You couldn't do a puzzle, but what would be some of the things that you would probably think about? Would you read? Would you
In
do
the car? No.
or no? Well, books on tape, maybe.
No, when I drove in the morning, it was before dawn, because I like never want to be late and I gotta leave real early. So it would be silence. Like I would, I think it's really important. That's another thing puzzles can do for you is to allow you to live, to be within yourself and to accept silence and not constant stimulation in your life. And I found enough stress already with driving that I did appreciate, just the time to be with my own thoughts. On the way home from work, however, that was a little bit, I'm already a little bit more revved up just from, the work day and now the more stressful commute. So sometimes I would put on music. I
Yeah, so
love
you can
dance
decompress.
music or heavy metal or whatnot. Yeah.
Okay, good. So you like to rock out? So let me ask you some fun questions about you. If you were an appliance in the kitchen, Helena, what appliance would you be?
Oh my Lord, April, if I was an appliance, I guess I'd be my stand mixer. I like to mix things up a little bit.
Okay.
And I love my KitchenAid stand mixer, please.
I know my daughter loves hers too. If you were a flower in the garden, what flower would you be?
I guess I'd be my favorite flower, the hydrangea.
I love the smell
You know,
of
they're lovely. So pretty to look at.
they are pretty. What's your favorite smell?
Maybe cinnamon.
Cinnamon. Okay.
It's, who doesn't like that?
If you
Yeah.
were a car, what kind of car would you be?
I work. Lord, that's a really good question. I don't know.
No. I'd be a 1974 VW van. I want the mattress in the back. I'd want the flowers painted. We'd have a hookah pipe. We listen to Jimi Hendrix. Oh yes. Oh yes, we'd have a puzzle. Oh, we would do all of that and then some.
For me, I guess with all the commuting, a vehicle has just been like a means of getting from here to there. Like it was almost like I'd live in my car. It's like I got food, I got this. I always will worry, oh my God, what if you get stuck in a storm? Oh, I got a blanket. I got, So it was never anything special for me because, buy a car, drive it into the ground, putting on so many miles that, yeah.
You live in a state where there's, mass transit. They're trying to develop that here in California. I don't even know what's taking them so long. Trying to get a train from San Diego, I mean, from California to Vegas. We could have did
It's a
that
lot.
eons ago. It's a lot, but a lot of people use that. During
But New
time.
York has underground and above ground railroad, subways and stuff. So that was, developed so many years ago. It's different than trying to, you couldn't put above ground, railroads like that all through to, take care of New York City.
Trying.
There's no way.
Yeah, you should see what they're doing in California, in Los Angeles especially. They're trying because that traffic is something else. During the time of COVID, everybody was isolated. You had your puzzles. But what did that time of silence and self-reflection teach you about the world around you?
Well, before the accident, I was seeing patients still in my practice. So I actually I'm not a big worrier, you know what I mean? So I really didn't have any real concerns about going to work and being with patients face to face in the office. It's like whatever, we tried to decrease the number of in-person visits and increase the number of telehealth visits. But really, in many ways, that was for the patients. Too many people congregating in the waiting room and whatnot, was not healthy for them. But anybody who wanted to see me in the office, they saw me in the office. That's, I have to be there to fulfill their needs.
Right. Right.
And I have to say, a lot of patients were really afraid of coming in. So the only way to make sure that they stayed well and their pregnancies went well was to have them, have visits
Right.
through telehealth. And thank God I didn't have any patients with, negative outcomes during that period.
So that connectivity still was very prominent in the work that you did during that time, because it was
Oh, has to be. How
it,
can you take care of patients and protect them, take care of them, their babies? There's no other way.
right. That was a lot. That was a lot to withhold. So with all of the wonderful things that you do, the people that you help, the puzzles, the mind stimulation, what would you like your legacy to be? What would you like for people to think about you or say about you in the end?
I wouldn't, I don't never think about such things, honestly, because I'm not one of these people that needs or thinks about much recognition or whatnot. I guess that I cared for them well, that I did, I treated them the way they deserve to be treated, that justly and kindly and with as much expertise as I could, and that I, try to do good, do right. It's a work in progress, working on, just this world is not, doesn't feel as kind as it could, and just trying to spread kindness and, happiness for people.
Well, I think that you do that at piece by piece, putting it together. Thank you so much. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you and how to purchase some puzzles.
Okay, so you can go onto my website, www.fairplay, FAIRPLAY, puzzles.com. And personally, you can reach out to me at Helena, which is my first name, HELANA, at fairplaypuzzles.com.
Brains, go in and take a look at them. I'm telling you, I'm gonna go in there. I gotta see how many we're willing to challenge ourselves with and how big of a
Show
space
you
we have.
one of my very
Oh,
favorite
wow.
puzzles that I think is just beyond
That
gorgeous.
is gorgeous.
It's
Now, how many
incredible. And let me
pieces?
tell you, the quality of this puzzle and the box, just everything is unbelievable. This is 1,000 pieces. Okay,
Thousand.
this is from Unified Pieces, and he's an artist. So, he contracts with other artists to make the puzzles, but he designed this whole box, which I have to tell you. Is magnetic flap, right? It's
Wow.
just you just feel the quality, but I have many, many beautiful puzzles, on the website, but it's just a lovely example.
It is a lovely example. I'm going to ask my husband, I'm going to challenge him because he's going to be retiring in 60 days.
Oh, congratulations.
Exactly. And so I'm going to get a puzzle and I'm going to say, how big is big enough? What are we willing to
That's
commit
right.
to?
That's right.
What are
Got to
we?
keep it busy so he doesn't drive you crazy while he's home all the time.
Exactly. Well, we won't be making babies, that's for sure.
Maybe grandbabies.
Exactly. I'm a grand muppy. Thank you so much, Helena, for being on the show with us. I appreciate you. I value you. I respect you. And I love the work that you do, both mentally, connectively, and also with the women that you support. Brains, go in. Take a look at it. Purchase a puzzle. Don't just look, purchase a puzzle. You can afford to do that. In addition to that, look at the work that Helena is doing. Maybe there is something that you can provide her as support, information, but connect with her. She's a great resource. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you, April. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
All right, you too. Bye, brains.
Bye-bye.